We shall now turn to the book of Ruth, the second chapter, and we shall read again verse 12. The book of Ruth, chapter 2, and verse 12. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. The Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Many people are superstitious. They keep lucky charms and they think that these help them in different ways. They avoid doing certain things like walking under ladders. They avoid certain numbers like the number 13. Now I suppose the world would say Ruth was a very lucky person. Things really worked out well for her. But friends, it wasn't luck. There's no such thing as luck. God is in control. And everything happens according to God's will and God's love and kindness. I was very interested to notice the name on the pastor's house, Providence Cottage. What a lovely name. God's providence, God's provision, God looking after us. Ruth was a very lucky person. Every Christian is a very lucky person. It's great to be a Christian, but it's not luck. It's God's love, God's care. We have a Father in heaven, and he looks after us, and he assures us all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. So if you're one of the elect of God, called, effectually called by him, if you are one of those who loves the Lord, by your love for the Lord, you show that you have been elected from all eternity. And you can be assured of this, that everyone who loves the Lord, we love him because he first loved us. And his love is so wonderful that not one detail in our lives will go wrong. Not one hair of our head falls to the ground without his notice. Every single thing that happens in your life from the moment you're born till the moment you die is for the best. It's God's love. It's God's care. Rejoice in the Lord. And if you're not a Christian tonight, remember, Christians are lucky people. Christians are blessed people. Remember, it's great to be a Christian, and it's miserable not to be a Christian. You miss out on everything good if you're not a Christian. You've got a miserable life in this world and a miserable eternity in the next world. So first of all, tonight I want us to think about Ruth's trust. Under whose wings thou art come to trust. When I was a little boy growing up in Stornoway in the island of Lewis, my parents kept hens. And from time to time we would have a hen sitting on eggs. And then the eggs would hatch and the hen would have these little chickens running around with her. And it was fascinating to watch the hen protecting the chickens. Any danger, the hen would lift up her wings, cluck to the chickens, and the little chickens would run under the wings of the hen. I remember one day a seagull coming along. It looked very threatening. The hen called to her chickens, under her wings, and then she confronted the seagull and chased it away. under whose wings thou art come to trust. What a lovely picture. Our God is, as it were, like this mother hen. And he's saying, come in under my wings, come in under my protection, come in under my safety. I will look after you, I will care for you, I will defend you, I will protect you from danger, I will provide for your every need, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Some of you might have read that little book by Douglas Macmillan, The Lord is My Shepherd. It's an exposition of the 23rd Psalm. And in there, an illustration is given. Story about a farmer whose barn went on fire. The next morning he came through his barn looking to see what was left behind. In one corner, he saw a hen that had been burnt. He lifted the hen, and under the hen were little chickens still alive, saved from the smoke, saved from the fire, under the protection of the hen's wings. Friends, where can we escape from the fire of God's wrath? How can we be delivered from him who is a consuming fire? From divine judgment, it's under the shadow of the Almighty, under the wings of the Lord God of Israel. It's in Jesus Christ that we have safety. And he calls to us and he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you safety. I will give you security. Come unto me, he says. And he's not saying, come to me if you're somebody special, if you're somebody who's grown up in the church, if you're somebody good-living, if you're one of the elect. No, he says, come to all the world. He says, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. Who is there in all the world who doesn't labor, who isn't heavy laden, laboring with sin, heavily laden by the devil, slaves to Satan? Come unto me, and there is safety. Come to me, and I will give you protection. Think of Jesus, how he wept over Jerusalem. He could see that the day was coming when the Romans would come and destroy the city. And so many of the people would die of hunger and the rest of disease. And those who were left massacred by the sword. And a handful that endured all that sold to be slaves. What devastation was going to come on Jerusalem. And you remember as he came over the Mount of Olives, approaching Jerusalem, seeing Jerusalem in front of him, great tears dropping down from his face. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, that killest the prophets, that stonest them that are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, but ye would not. How often would I, but you would not. How tragic. The Lord Jesus, he came into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. But ye would not. You will not come to me that you might have life. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. You would not have me. You rejected me. You turned your back upon me. Oh, that you would come. How often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, but ye would not. Are you one of those who would not, who will not receive the call of Christ to come in under his wings? Here is Ruth. And we're told, she came. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. There were many Israelites who had grown up in the church, were members of the church, and yet didn't trust, didn't come in under the wings of the Lord. Far more interested in the pleasures of the world, far more concerned about earthly riches and prosperity. Many Israelites, busy with their families, busy extending their houses, busy involved in their businesses, involved in their farms, careless about their souls. Israel was the church of the Old Testament. How many Israelites had little time for Christ? But Ruth, the foreigner, the Moabitess, she came under the wings of the Almighty. And it's the same today. Remember Jesus in his day, "Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites! Publicans and harlots shall enter the kingdom of heaven, and you cast out. They shall come from the north and from the south, from the east and from the west, and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of our Father, and ye shall be cast out." Why? "You will not come to me. You have rejected me. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not." Even his own, even the Jews, they received him not. "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Israelites, not interested, but this foreigner, Ruth, the Moabitess, she comes. She comes and she puts her trust in the Lord God of Israel. Think of the words of Isaiah 26. "Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." Perfect peace because you trust in God. You have perfect peace. If you trust in God, trust in him more, and that thou you will be kept in perfect peace. "Trust ye in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah, I am that I am, the God of the covenant, the sure and steadfast God, the unchanging God. In him there is security, there is safety. The Lord of hosts is on our side. Why should we be afraid? The God of Jacob is our refuge. What should frighten us? Nothing. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." For Proverbs 3 verse 5, "Trust in the Lord and lean not to your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding." So here we have a mark of the true Christian. What is a Christian? Are you a Christian? You've got to ask yourself, examine yourself whether you be in the faith. Prove your own self. Well, how do I know am I a Christian? Well, here's a mark. Do you trust in the Lord? Are you under the wings of his protection? Is your hope in him? Are you depending on the Lord, resting on him? Is your trust in him? "He that trusteth in him shall not be put to shame." So then, Ruth's trust, under whose wings, under the Lord's wings, thou hast come to trust. But then, secondly, I want you to notice Ruth's conversion. Ruth didn't always trust in the Lord. Under whose wings thou art come to trust. Something happened in her life. Indeed, she had been born and bred in Moab. She was a pagan, a heathen, an idolater, a worshipper of idols. And something happened in her life. She was converted. Everyone has to be converted. Even people who are born and bred in the church. Little children, remember this. You're growing up in the church, and that's a wonderful privilege to have Christian parents who are teaching you and instructing you. But you need to be converted. You need to trust in the Lord. We're told in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, about a man named Nicodemus. He was a leader, a minister indeed, in the Jewish church, a teacher of Israel. He had been brought up in the church. He was a man of very good reputation. Everybody thought highly of him. And he came to Jesus. You know what Jesus said to him? Nicodemus, though you're a good man, and though you're a minister of the church, a member of the church, and a leader and a teacher, and you know your Bible inside out, Nicodemus, you must be born again. It's not enough to grow up in the church. It's not enough to be baptized in the church. It's not enough to take communion in the church. It's not enough to be an elder in the church or a pastor in the church. You must be born again. That's vital. You need the new birth. And except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. So even in the church, we need to be converted. And if we're not converted, we will end up in hell, because we are born in sin and shaped in iniquity as people, even born into Christian homes and families. We have unconverted hearts. We are self-righteous. We are proud. We are sinners. You look at a little baby just born out of our mother's womb, and that little baby looks so innocent. But friends, that baby is a sinner. And that baby has to be born again, has to be saved by the grace of God. And there's only one way of salvation, and that is by regeneration, by the new birth, by a miracle of God. You must be born again. That's true for church people, and it's true also for those who are not brought up in the church. So here was Ruth, and Ruth, born and bred an idolater. When was she converted? Well, one day she met Mahlon, Elimelech and Naomi's son, Mahlon. And she fell in love with Mahlon. She married him. Was it at this time that she was converted? Possibly. It's very wrong for a Christian to marry somebody who's not a Christian. Very wrong indeed. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. That's the word of God. Don't yoke up, as it were, with those who are unbelievers. What communion has light with darkness? What communion has Christ with Belial? How ridiculous for any Christian who loves the Lord Jesus to marry somebody who hates the Lord Jesus. And no matter how smart and kind and loving a person is, if they're unconverted, they are haters of Christ, crucifiers of Christ, and they're on the way to hell unless they're converted. So perhaps it was when she met Mahlon and she started to speak to him. They became interested in one another, and he would tell her about God and about the ways of God and the God of Israel. Maybe that's when she was converted. Although sometimes Christians, wrongly, they go ahead and they marry unbelievers, and it brings many troubles into their life, many troubles upon their family. And then we're told that Mahlon died, and she was left a young widow. It was a sad situation. But sometimes it takes sad situations like that to bring us to our senses. We've known of cases where a loved one has died, and it's brought a person face to face with divine things, with eternity. It's very sad, very tragic that it takes the death of a loved one to bring us to repentance, to bring us to our knees. Sometimes it does. Maybe that's when she was converted. And then we're told that Naomi said, I'm leaving. I'm going back home. Going back home to Israel. Naomi had a very sad life. When she returned to Israel, she said, call me not Naomi, pleasantness, but call me Mara, bitterness. For the Lord has dealt bitterly with me. How bitterly. I went out full and I came back empty. There was a famine in the land. She and her husband and her two sons went to Moab where there was food to eat. And first her husband died. Then her two sons died, one after another. And she returns as a childless widow to the land of Israel. What sadness. Call me not Naomi. Call me Mara, for the Lord hath dealt bitterly with me. I went out full and came back empty. But she was wrong. She didn't come back empty. She came back with a wonderful gift from God. What was it? What was it that made Ruth see the wonder of all this? What was it that attracted Ruth to the Lord God of Israel? Did she see in her mother-in-law a sweetness and a love and a joy and a peace in the midst of all her sad experiences, in the midst of the tragedies that befell her? Did she see that her mother-in-law had something that no Moabites had? Her mother-in-law had that strength, that resilience, that presence of the Lord in her life. That peace with God, that joy of the Lord in her heart. Naomi said to her, you go back. You go back to your own people. You go back to your own gods. You go back and you'll find a husband in the land of Moab. I've got nothing I can give you. I'm just a poor widow. I can't find a husband for you. I can do nothing for you. You just go back. And you remember what she said. Entreat me not to leave thee. Or to return from following after thee. Where thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people. Thy God, my God. Where thou diest, will I die. And there will I be buried. And the Lord God of Israel do so and more also to me. If aught but death part me and thee. What wonderful words these were. Surely Ruth is converted by this point. Surely she is. Entreat me not to leave thee, to return from following after thee. I want to be with you. I want to have what you have. I want your God. I want your people. I love the Lord's people and I love the Lord himself. And I want to die the death of the righteous. And I want to go to the eternity of the righteous. But I don't want just to die the death of a righteous. I want to live the life of the righteous as well. Ruth's conversion. Well, we don't know when she was converted. But one thing we know was that at some point in her life, this had happened, that she had come to put her trust under the wings of the Almighty. That's what's vital. Not how it happened, not when it happened, but has it happened? Has it happened in your own life? Have you put your trust in the Lord? Ruth's conversion. Under whose wings thou hast come to trust? And then thirdly, we have Ruth's reward. Boaz says to her, "The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou hast come to trust." The Lord recompense thee, a full reward. He wished that she be rewarded for trusting in the Lord. But he knew it would happen. Because nobody trusts in the Lord in vain. To trust in the Lord, you can always be sure of this. Those that trust in the Lord, they will be blessed. Those who trust in Him receive a rich reward. There's no one who leaves father or mother, no one who leaves husband or wife, no one who leaves son or daughter, no one who leaves house or wealth for the kingdom of God's sake, but will receive manifold more in this life and in the life to come. Everlasting riches. A rich reward be given thee. And you notice how he says, how he invites her into the house, how he treats her as if she were a worker for him. He gets her to sit at the table. He reaches over food to her, parched corn, and they eat this parched. She eats the parched corn, and she has enough left over to take home for her mother-in-law's meal as well. And then he says to the reapers, "Don't trouble her in any way, don't bother, and let fall some handfuls of purpose for her." That's a lovely way of putting it, isn't it? As she's going around gleaning, gathering the little bits of corn here and there, "Reapers, drop some for her here and some for her there. Yes, a rich reward be given you." Leviticus 19 said that the Israelites were not allowed to glean the corners of their fields or to go round gathering the little bits that were left behind. These bits were to be for the poor. But it's not just these bits that are being left for Ruth. Here there are handfuls being left for her, so that by the end of the day, when she takes the corn, beats it out, she's got an ephah of barley. That is 20 to 25 pounds of barley. A huge amount for a gleaner to be able to gather. God cares for the poor. But God especially cares for those who trust in Him, His children. When your children come to you and ask for things from you, you give them what you can. The son asks bread, you don't give him a stone. If he asks a fish, you don't give him a serpent that'll sting him. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father in heaven give good things to his own children? The lion's young may hungry be, and they may lack their food, but they that truly seek the Lord shall not lack any good. And the psalmist says in Psalm 37, "I have been young and now am old, yet have I never seen the just man left, or that his seed for bread have beggars been." The righteous man, the just man, he won't be left in beggary because the Lord provides. Boaz says, "The Lord recompense thee. A rich reward be given thee by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." Ruth's reward. And finally, Ruth's destiny. She trusted in God. Trusted in the wings of the Lord. And yet, at the same time, it's worth noticing that she went out to work. She didn't say, "Well, the Lord's there and the Lord's looking after me, and that's it, I'm trusting in God, and he can bring food to me, and he can do this, and he can do that, and he can give me a husband, and he can do everything for me. And I'll just sit here and do nothing. That's wrong. Along with God's sovereignty, we must believe in human responsibility. We must not just trust the Lord, but we must work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God that worketh in us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It's not a little bit of our work and a little bit of God's work, but it's all God's work. And it's all our work too. Yes, we are responsible. And Ruth, she doesn't just sit there waiting for the Lord to put everything on a plate for her. She gets up, she goes out, she works in the fields, she works right through the wheat harvest and the barley harvest. She went out to glean. And we're told that her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging to Boaz, verse 3. Her hap was, her chance was to light. Was it chance? No. God's guiding hand, planned from all eternity, foreordaining whatsoever comes to pass. The Lord led her to the field of Boaz. Everything organized by Boaz, by God. Boaz comes from Bethlehem. Boaz comes to the field. And he notices her. That was God's hand too. He notices her. And he's heard good things about her. That was God as well, directing that. And in his heart a love is stirred for her. There we see God's hand too. He was a mighty man of wealth, Boaz. He would have been able to get many another woman to be his wife. But no, the Lord was directing him to this woman who had put her trust in the Lord. And so this girl from Moab, who seems to have nothing going for her, poor, a widow, along with her mother-in-law, gleaning in the fields in poverty, and the Lord provides for her. The Lord gives her a husband, and the Lord gives her a child, Obed, and the Lord gives her also a grandson, Jesse. And a great-grandson, David. And a great-great-great-great-grandson, the Lord Jesus Christ. How wonderful. A heathen woman from Moab, by the grace of God, brought in and made a mother of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wonderful what the Lord does. What the Lord does for those who come and put their trust in him. If only we trusted in the Lord more. If only we came to put our trust in him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in him and depend upon him and seek to live for him and live optimistically for him. And you be sure of this, the best is yet to be. There's a wonderful future in store. In this life, and better still in the next life. All things working together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Trust in the Lord. Are you trusting in him? Trust in him more. Cast yourself upon him, and he will look after you. Let's pray. Gracious God, we praise thee that thou art a trustworthy God, and we pray that we would trust in thee, and that we would learn from Ruth to look to the Lord, to look to the Lord Jesus Christ, who came to save sinners, and that we would come in under the shadow of his wings, and that he would be our protection and our deliverance. We praise thee, Lord, that thou didst take this girl from the country of Moab, one out of the millions of Moab, elected by thee, not because of anything good in her, but because of thine own election, thine own thine own sovereign will, thou didst choose her and take her and save her soul, and by grace thou didst work in her and work faith in her heart, and thou didst bring her into Israel and into the family of Boaz, and through her thou didst bring about the birth of Israel's greatest king in Old Testament times, David, King David. And then thou didst bring through her the greatest king of all, according to the flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ, our great king, our great prophet, our great priest, the Messiah. We praise thee, Lord, for the seed of the woman who bruised the head of the serpent, and we pray that our trust would be in the Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Amen.